It was a weekend Fine Gael might well want to forget, as the party failed to win any seats in four by-elections. There was better news for Fianna Fáil, with the party winning in Wexford and Cork North Central. Good news too for the Greens and Sinn Féin, each taking seats in Dublin Fingal and Dublin Mid West. With me now, John Downing, political correspondent of the Irish Independent, Alison O'Connor, columnist with the Irish Examiner, and Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times. Good morning to you all. Simon Coveney, the Taoiseach, was very bullish on the This Week programme yesterday. Pat, saying effectively nothing much to see here. Government parties tend to lose by-elections, but despite all the positive words from senior ministers since early on Saturday, there's much to contemplate here.
Yes, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? I suppose, with regard to Simon Coveney, I think it was a bad day for Fine Gael, not just because it lost four elections, and there's no getting away from that, and all the caveats about low turnout and governments not winning by-elections and so forth are relevant up to a point, but the public sees government went out, lost four by-elections. That's bad for Leo Varadkar, however he looks at it. There's a number of signals, I think, in the votes. Notwithstanding the low turnout, the signals looks to me like Fianna Fáil is in pretty good shape to fight a general election next year. Won two on Saturday, and is well positioned, I think, to make a net seat gain in the next general election from where it is now in these constituencies. So that will squeeze Fine Gael, I think, in rural Ireland, and with the good vote, a strong vote for the Greens in Dublin Fingal, I think is evidence that this coming green tide that we saw in the local and European elections in May is continuing to build, and that will squeeze Fine Gael in urban Ireland, particularly in those second seats that it has in middle class areas in Dublin. So from that point of view, and we get on, I guess, to talk about the Verona Murphy question shortly, but from purely an electoral arithmetic point of view, I see a squeeze on Fine Gael in urban and rural Ireland.
And Alison, speaking of Verona Murphy, there are a lot of stories in today's papers suggesting she's going to be dropped as a general election candidate, despite her insistence after the count on Saturday that she would stand.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an inevitability about that. But for me, what was interesting was even during the campaign, this idea of talking to people about how Fine Gael handled Verona's outbursts. And speaking even to Fianna Fáil people who said, look, it's gone beyond the time now that they can change the candidate. Fine Gael have to stick with her. That's party politics. I didn't necessarily take that attitude. I think that Fine Gael are left now, the legacy of this for them, is that very mixed signals on this. And that's a problem. Last week, the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, sent a letter to Noel Grealish after his remarks about remittances to Nigeria, saying he was very disappointed. I felt that Noel Grealish must have allowed himself a wry smile reading that. I mean, I think Pascal Donoghue would have been very sincere when he sent that letter. But Noel Grealish, looking at the general behaviour of Fine Gael, for the Taoiseach yesterday to say, for instance, that Verona Murphy had a very tough time, that she had apologised. How sincerely can you take an apology from a candidate who then releases the video that she did on Friday, which quoted somebody saying, Verona is very outspoken. You know, I mean, it's all not even that very thinly coded.
And that she'd been vilified by the
media. I mean, no, but people aren't idiots. You know, you can read that. Now, the positive for me, all of that, I have to say, I found very depressing, and I found Fine Gael's behaviour very depressing. I know Charlie Flanagan was standing beside her on Saturday, and there was an element of how could he say she wasn't going to run in the general election. But he then made remarks about the media giving her a hard time while their former colleague, Gemma
Yes,
O'Dea,
on that point, what did you make of that, John Downing? He was saying effectively, look, Gemma O'Doherty in Dublin Fingal got something of a free pass, perhaps maybe from former colleagues in the media.
Yeah, I don't accept that for a moment. I mean, when you find politicians, a politician blaming the media is a bit like a farmer fighting with the weather. You know, I mean, we're there. They have to get used to us and get on with it, and they do. But and good politicians avoid that kind of thing. Charlie, well, probably wasn't one of his better days out. It was a very difficult job being director of elections for a volatile and unpredictable candidate like Verona Murphy. The Fine Gael gambled in Wexford and it didn't quite work out. Difficulty of bringing in non-politicians, particularly somebody who's been successful in business, is that they assume that all of their skills are transferable from business to politics. Some skills are, not all.
You're old enough to remember Liam Skelly,
absolutely.
Who was a successful businessman back, I think, in the early 1980s.
Yeah.
And that didn't end well, but he did win the seat, mind you. And,
I think the plus side, briefly, Sean, of all of that was the election of Joe O'Brien, obviously with the green wind at his back in Dublin Fingal, but also someone who works with the Immigrant Council of Ireland. And if you like, is on the very opposite end of the scale. And for him to do, you know, so well, the first Green by-election win, I think is a very nice antidote to all that went down.
I think all of the parties deserve some credit here for keeping a lid on. There is a potential racist vote out there.
And I want to bring in Patrick O'Donovan. He's Minister of State at the Department of Finance. Patrick O'Donovan, thank you for joining us. What are you going to do about Verona? What do you think should be done about her?
Thanks, Sean. Just one thing there before the Verona thing. In relation to Pat Leahy's comment there about Fine Gael being squeezed or Fine Gael might be squeezed. Fine Gael's vote in Corknard Central, which is urban and rural, went up. Fine Gael's vote in Wexford stayed the same. And Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil both went down by pretty much the same amount in the two Dublin constituencies. So I think, you know...
But as Pat said, on a very low turnout as well.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. There's a bit of an exaggeration to be extrapolating this into a general election. You can't. And I don't think any, extrapolations can be drawn from this in relation to gains or in relation
And on
to,
Verona?
In relation to Verona Murphy, she made statements that I totally and absolutely, totally disagree with. I couldn't believe it, to be quite honest about it, when I saw it. And she doesn't stand, those comments do not stand for what Fine Gael stand for. And Fine Gael made it very clear at the time that this is not something that we want to have any truck with. And she apologised for it.
Should she be allowed to run in the general election? Would you be embarrassed as a candidate in another part of the country if she was on the ticket in Wexford?
Sean, as you know, and you're around this game longer than I am, the final tickets in relation to all parties are decided by the leader and the national executive. There's nothing to say that there won't be tinkering around the edges with my own ticket. So it's a matter for the Taoiseach. He said that at the count, and he'll make his own decision on the advice of the national executive. But as well as that, he also said that he'd be consulting with the membership of the party in each of the four constituencies that had by-elections. And as well as that, reflecting on, you know, the turnout, where we got votes, where we didn't get votes, where we did well and where we didn't do well.
Yes. So on that question, Pat Leahy, do you think that there's any doubt at all about Verona Murphy being deselected?
We're making predictions. It's a risky business. All I can tell you is that I spoke to a large number of Fine Gael people at all levels of the party yesterday, and every single one of them wanted and expected Verona Murphy to be removed from the ticket. I find it difficult to believe that she would be left there. I think there's a couple of parts to it. There's not just the comments over the course of the campaign, but what really spooked a lot of people that I spoke to yesterday was this campaign video that the lads have referred to that she released on the Thursday night and got a lot of play around on the Friday. And I think what people were saying to me is, imagine if she did something like that in the course of a general election campaign. The Taoiseach would be asked about nothing else for 48 hours later. And I don't think that's a risk that Fine Gael will be prepared to take.
Firstly, I think there is no political choice here. She has to go, you know, in terms of party politics, as Pat says, a possible general election campaign. One of the additional concerns for me is the damage that she has done to female candidates. There's already quite a bit of resistance still, even in terms of quotas and that. And if this had happened with the man, simply because there are far more men in politics, it wouldn't be singled out. Well, look at that male candidate in wherever.
Do you not think so? Do you not think if Noel Greenish was a Fine Gael candidate, he would get the same treatment?
No, I don't. I'm not saying the treatment. I'm just saying that generally it will be seen as, because it was said to me last week by one or two women involved in politics, that they were concerned that this would be seen, there'd be an element of, sure, that's women for
this
you.
This is women now.
This is women now, and here you go. And that would be a concern. I mean, obviously, I disagree with that. But when you have so few women, they will stand out in that
way. Fine Gael have another problem that cropped up, John Downing, last week towards the end of the campaign. Dara Murphy, it emerged first of all, he's resigning because he's got this big job in Europe, but that he had been dutifully claiming all the expenses that he was entitled to, albeit being compliant with the rules, he insists, but not showing up for any more than, was it 20 days last year?
Yeah, he's... It's deplorable, and it reflects very badly on the party. And if he was managing an exit from politics, I mean, he should have been far better than that. And I think that this issue will return to haunt them. They were very lucky, by the way, the way that news broke, because it didn't impact on these elections. There will be questions about whether or not he should return a deal of that money, particularly expenses.
What do you think about that, Patrick O'Donovan? I mean, he was a TD in the constituency of Cork North Central, where the by-election was taking place.
And to be fair, when the news broke, I think it was on Wednesday night. It was the first that we had heard of it, because I was with a number of colleagues in the Dáil on Wednesday night. And, you know, when you're a TD, Sean, I think you're enough to be doing to manage your own attendance and manage your own constituency and manage your own affairs. And to be honest about it, having a job outside the houses of the Oireachtas is probably a bigger issue to discuss, because I said it even to somebody that I was on the phone to this morning that asked me about this. I've hardly time to see my kids at the weekend, so I don't know how people have time to hold down second jobs, to be honest about it. It's probably a bigger issue.
Yeah, indeed. But I mean, the idea of not just having the second job, but claiming the full expenses allocation for the first job, as they say in Donegal, it's tearing the, well, I'll be polite about this, tearing the backside out of it.
I don't want to disagree with you, and I think it's across parties. It's across all parties in the Dáil that there
Patrick, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall as you and your colleagues heard that news coming in having your discussion in the Dáil the other night.
Well, I'd say the fly, his eyes might have fallen out if he said to meet our eyes, to be honest about it. There are issues here to be answered, there's no doubt about that. But there's a bigger issue here. And the bigger issue is that we're very privileged to be representing the people that send us to the Dáil. And they expect us to devote our time to it. Now, they're across parties, I believe, that we have to be, you know, this has to be looked at in terms of, you know, outside positions as well. And I know that people will say, well, you know, that there are special circumstances, and there are. But I think that, you know, we have...
Well, it's one thing for somebody to have a business maybe and be a TD or maybe do a bit of practising at the bar. But I mean, this was a job effectively taking away for several days a week to a foreign capital or a capital elsewhere in Europe.
You know, we all have to make a declaration of interest every year. And those declarations of interest are forensically gone through by the media every year, because you get a plethora of FOIs in about, you know, where do you own shares, or do you own a site here, have you a bit of land here, or, you know, what post office are you working in, or, you know, are you a funeral undertaker, are you busy or whatever. So they all come in. So I think that there's probably an issue here in relation to, you know, TDs, senators, ministers of state, in relation to, you know, the declarations for outside interest.
This is a manful defence, in fairness, by Patrick, to make it into the general issue about TDs' occupations, but the specific issue that is facing the government is the behaviour of Dara Murphy.
That's not fair, because, I mean, if it was known widely, I'm sure you would have probably reported on it months ago. You didn't know about it, no more than I did. So,
well,
I think
Craig Hughes, was it of the Mail and the Irish Times freelance, wrote about it a year ago, that he had done it for 1 year. And then he seems to have gone on his merry way, Patrick, doing the same thing for another year. Maybe lots of people are remiss, not least the party whip's office, who could have been giving him a tap on the shoulder and saying, are you sure about how this might look if it ever got out?
And the first that, you know, that we knew that he was going to be resigning because of this issue was on Wednesday night. Because it was reported, I think, in the Irish Examiner. That was the first that we as colleagues knew about it. So, I mean, if there are questions here for him to answer, he's the person really...
There's one big question, though, perhaps, that you can answer. Should he give the money back?
To be honest about it, Sean, I think you have questions for him and the others have questions for him. He needs to answer them first.
But you might have an opinion on it.
I don't know. I don't know what he was doing, Sean, to be quite honest. And I don't know what his parliamentary duties were at the time. I don't know what he was doing, because, as I said at the start, I have enough to be quite frank about it to mind myself.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. But you see, there's some basic information that Darren Murphy himself has put out into the public, saying that he attended the required 120 days at Leinster House in 2018 and should achieve the requisite number for 2019 and will make the statutory turn when due. But it's like he clocked in on a majority of days when the House was not sitting and then managed on the same days to be tweeting from various cities or parts of Europe.
And to be Sean, that's a question you need to put to him, to be honest about it, because, you know, I can't understand, as I said a while ago, I have a huge rural constituency.
I know, but has he brought the party into disrepute?
Well, to be quite honest about it, it doesn't reflect well on any of us. It doesn't reflect well on any...
Why should it reflect in an unwell way on you?
Because
You're not Darren Murphy.
No, I'm not, as I said a while ago. I'll tell you why, because it's a cumulative effect over the last number of weeks that it's a reflection on politics in general, whether it is fabbing or voting or attending
or buying
or printers.
No, seriously.
Absolutely.
But you see, the thing about it is, we had it from the Taoiseach last week, Patrick O'Donoghue, and we had it on this programme from Heather Humphreys, the Business and Enterprise Minister, on Friday. Oh, the printer. Well, now, that's not the government. That's actually the Dáil. And the Dáil is independent. But the point about it is, there is one party that has more members of the Dáil and the Seanad than any others. It happens to be your party, Fine Gael. So
but
it does have something to do with
together
you.
Together today, after the weekend, we probably don't. But anyway, you know, this is an issue for the Houses of the Oireachtas. And you're right. The printer was an issue for the Houses of the Oireachtas.
Yeah, in which Fine Gael biggest member, sir.
Yeah, and if it's a thing that the Houses of the Oireachtas say, that, you know, that there's 120 days that you have to clock into the Dáil in order to get your allowances, but doesn't specify what you need to do when you're in those 120 days, that's up to the Houses of the Oireachtas. I don't care what they come up with at the end of the day, you know, what I'm required to do, I comply with. These rules don't apply to ministers or ministers of state, but I go back to the start. I don't know how anybody could be a representative of a constituency and have an outside interest based on the volume of time it requires to be a TD in the first place.
And do you find it hard to understand how somebody could not just have a second full-time job, but could still manage to be claiming the full expenses for the first one?
I do, to be quite honest about it. I find that hard because I know that based on my own experience, being here this morning and half to stay for people to meet and probably being over in Nicker and Palace Green tonight until maybe 9 o'clock, and it's the same every Monday and Friday and it's the same every Saturday and Sunday. I don't know, to be quite honest, how people can do that, but obviously they do and the electorate have no problem with it.
What do you make of that, John Downing?
Well, I can hear Patrick's in a difficult position. In fairness to all the elected TDs and senators, there aren't enough hours in the day for most of them. It's a hard job and very demanding. I think Darren Murphy has roundly abused the system. But the idea that we need more specific rules as to how people should behave, I don't find that acceptable. I think you get elected to Leinster House, you should know how to behave yourself. And
you shouldn't need somebody to show you how to behave.
Exactly, yeah.
The problem here is that this is another instance. We've had this from Fine Gael over the last few weeks with Verona. We have it now from Patrick, where you feel Patrick would like to say more. You felt over the last few weeks other would like to have said more about Verona, come out and said it plainly, what most people would think. Sorry if I might finish, Patrick. And it's an element of you feel that Fine Gael, people think they're making fools out of people. There's a situation that's as plain as day. And I think that the mood music around Fine Gael now, they are really hurting and they are really concerned facing into a general election.
Patrick O'Donovan, as Miriam Lord points out in today's Irish Times, Darren Murphy, he legitimately collected all allowances available to him under elastic rules devised by politicians for politicians while mainly working overseas for a Fine Gael affiliated political organisation. Now, you are a junior minister in the Department of Finance responsible for allocating the public purse. Should he give back those expenses?
And I've said, Sean, before, that the time that politicians broke the link to the civil service was a major, major mistake. Our salaries, our expenses and allowances.
Listen, come here. You're veering off now down tangents. It's a really simple question. Do you want to give me a yes or no answer?
Alison said that Fine Gael are treating people as fools. That's completely and utterly unfair because I've been asked questions and I'm answering them. You've asked me about Darren Murphy.
And should he give the money back?
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, well, you do, because he told us himself. Sean, he put out a statement on Saturday night.
I don't know. When he was
compliant with the rules.
Yeah, Sean, can I just finish the money? Can I finish? I don't know when he was in Leinster House or what he was doing in Leinster House. If you want to find out what he was doing, you know, Dara Murphy is the person to ask. But if he was, if there's any issue in relation to, you know, sailing close to the wind, then I think he should probably look to see, you know, is there reimbursement that can be done?
And I think so he should return the money.
You're
going very close now. You're nearly there. Do you think he should give back the money?
I've given you a straight answer. And I think saying that Fine Gael are treating people as fools, the houses of the Oireachtas over the last number of weeks, cumulatively, it's not a Fine Gael issue. It wasn't Fine Gael that started off all of the issue in relation to Fabian and voting. Fine Gael have nothing to do with the printing, and this is a Fine Gael issue. We're up for any changes that need to be made to the Houses of the Oireachtas rules, and we said that from the start.
Okay, look, we have to wrap it there, and we'll finish now with Fine Gael. Patrick O'Donovan, you've had the last word on that, Minister of State, and thank you, and Deputy for Limerick County. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. Just a quick word, because we didn't really mention them. Sinn Féin, they managed to win the seat, and not just more than managed, won it handy enough in Dublin Midwest. At the same time, their vote slipped to about 5% in Dublin Fingal. Did they decide to concentrate their efforts on one constituency in the capital part?
Yeah, I think this caught everybody, me included, by surprise. Mm. It seems to have been a very concentrated local campaign and a get out the vote operation on the day. It would be very difficult for them, of course, to keep the two seats in that constituency on a general election. But I think it's a significant fillip for Mary Lou MacDonald, for which she probably has to thank the local TD, Ona Brin.
Okay, we leave it there. My thanks to the three of you, John Downing, Alison O'Connor and Pat Leahy. Thank you all. We'll be talking to Paddy after the break.